Welcome to Grubs Up, the tasty podcast serving up bite-sized chat about nutrition, hydration and feeling fab as we age.
We're your hosts, Charmian, Bernie and June, and today we're diving into the delicious world of eating well and staying topped up. Not just for your tummy, but for your health and happiness too, as part of our Pathfinder Press series.
Whether you're a grazer, a three meals a day champion, or someone who forgets to drink enough water between cups of tea, this episode is for you. We'll be chatting about simple swaps, hydration hacks, and why mealtimes matter more than you might think. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself a glass of something hydrating, and let's tuck in.
Hello, Carmel.
Hello.
Hi, I'm Charmian. Can you tell us a bit about yourself and your work in the field of nutrition and hydration for older adults, please?
Yes, definitely. So I'm Carmel. I'm a registered nutritionist, which means that my background is very strongly in nutrition. I joined Age UK Salford and Trafford specifically on a nutrition project that they were working on. And that was about 8 years ago. It was a project that was looking into older people's malnutrition risk and around the information that older people have around eating and drinking and the level of information and awareness around malnutrition that health and social care and staff and medical professionals and community workers had as well. So that was a project, and it was a little bit like a legacy that I then stayed on with Age UK, which was then Age UK Salford, is now Age UK Salford and Trafford. And I became involved in other projects, but all to do with older people, how to increase their well-being, how to, you know, make them to live better in their own home, help them with their independence, making sure that they stay where they are comfortable, and anything to do with their health and well-being that, you know, we can help them with. But I still very strongly look for those nutrition connections in all the projects that I work on, because nutrition is really where my passion lies.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I mean, you know, it is, it, you know, I think older people do sort of need to have good nutrition. But, you know, how and why does nutrition needs change as we get older?
They change quite dramatically, and you might be, some listeners would be surprised to know they actually start changing around the age of, you know, 40, 50.
We
reach our peak bone mass roughly at the age of 20.
Wow.
So we haven't exercised our bones and made sure that they're all healthy, it kind of deteriorates more afterwards. That doesn't mean that you can't do anything about it after that age. You know, having a healthy, you know, balanced diet does help with, you know, the all the overall health that you need as we get older. But the most dramatic change that I would say are taking place as we get older is in terms of our muscle mass. So our muscle mass obviously
very important.
Is very important for someone's independence. So if we don't have the muscle mass, we're not going to be able to stay very independent, because we're going to start needing help with getting in and out of the house and getting in and out of bed and getting off the chair. There are things that we can do to stop that breakdown. It's not going to stop fully, but it's going to slow down. So the most important things to take away from that are, and I don't know if this might be in your next questions, but specifically talking about, you know, nutrition for older people, what's really important is the emphasis on four different things. That's protein, that's vitamin D, it's calcium, and it's hydration. Yeah. And there's a reason for all those things. So protein is obviously what our muscles are made of. And then you have the vitamin D and the calcium, which work together to, that's what our bones are pretty much made of.
Off, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and if we don't have that, our bones may become a little bit more brittle or may break more easily. And the fourth is hydration. So, with hydration, quite often it's overlooked, or there's a lot of myths surrounding the hydration that only water will do, and no other drinks are classed as, fluids. That's nonsense. They all count as fluids, other than very strong alcohols, and not unfortunately
Don't
count
deprive us of
as
fun, Carol. No.
no. But you know,
We need the
yeah.
fun.
So everything about
It's
alcohol,
tea, okay. It's tea's
hydrates.
all right, is it?
Yes.
Yes.
Alcohol unfortunately does the opposite to hydration. So, but I'd say those four things, if you get those right, you're already in a very good place. But obviously it's the overall balance of nutrients as well. So making sure that you take in enough calories so you're not then losing weight without meaning to.
Because that was one of the things I was going to ask you about, what older people tend to miss out on,
They tend to miss out on protein, and I'll tell you why. A protein is often chewy food, and whilst they start losing their way of, swallowing
Right.
or the way that the teeth are working,
Yeah.
they tend to leave that out. But also, there's another reason for that, and it tends to be that protein products tend to be more expensive than carbohydrate-based sugary products. And that's one of the things that if somebody financially struggling with, with eating, they will buy the cheaper products, which will have less of a protein content than some of the, the lean meats, or so that's one of the reasons that, that's one of the things that people will miss out on straight away is the protein.
Yeah, because you talked about vitamin D, sorry, but I know a lot of older people sort of take a vitamin D supplement as well.
Which is excellent. Yes, it's the only vitamin D is actually the only vitamin other than folic acid for women in childbearing age and during pregnancy. Vitamin D is the only supplement that is actually recommended by the Department of Health in the UK. And I would go as far as saying that forget your age. Pretty much anyone in our country should be on vitamin D supplements, because a lot of people, if you spend most of your year in the UK, you will not be getting enough sunlight.
It's the sunshine that we need.
It's
Yeah,
the
exactly.
sunshine, and it's also
Sunshine.
where it's synthesized. So a lot of the times with older people, even if you go outside, you're not necessarily going to get it because it's synthesized around your arms most effectively. So if you're covering yourself up, because
Which we do with sun cream,
which you
because
do, so
soldiers,
in sun cream you will
I
still
have
synthesize a bit.
I
If you've
don't,
got clothes on, if you've got clothes on, it's not going to be synthesized in the same way. So therefore, you could be sitting in the sun all day and you won't be getting it.
So it's good that. I mean, are there some common misconceptions about what older people should and shouldn't eat?
The best ones I've heard, or maybe the worst ones I've heard, I hear a lot that if somebody, so I would see a lot of people or come across a lot of people who are, older and they are underweight. And they will tell me things that they are not allowed to eat anything with sugar in it because they might be pre-diabetic or they might have type 2 diabetes, and therefore they're not allowed to touch eat anything with sugar in it, where actually you could get quite a lot of calories in that way. So they will have diabetic desserts and things like that, which don't hold the same nutrition as a product that isn't, labeled or branded as a diabetic dessert. So I would say there's a much bigger risk with somebody becoming malnourished and losing weight without meaning to, and the consequences of that, than someone having some sugar whilst they're being pre-diabetic or type 2 or
Mm.
type 2 diabetics, because there's other elements in place that we can control that. But what we can't do is control how much weight that person is going to be losing. So I've heard quite a lot of that. And unfortunately, the level of nutrition education within, the wider health and social care and the general medical practice is not sufficient enough to really give that advice around, and it can be really simple advice like eat little and often and have nourishing snacks. And, instead of having three big meals, have six smaller meals, because some
Right.
people will be very overfazed by that. So they'll think, well, I can't eat all of that, so I just won't eat it. So there are ways around it that we can give that really simple frontline, advice that could prevent somebody from becoming malnourished and dehydrated.
That's what about reduced appetite as people get older? Can that affect the sort of the habits and the health? Because a lot of older people say that they're losing their appetite and, they'll only sort of want to eat certain foods.
Losing your appetite is very normal and is very common, and it happens to pretty much everyone, more or less. That it's fine for it to be normal, but it needs to be kept an eye on. Now, as we get older, we also need less energy. So it's okay that the appetite goes low, because you tend to be more sedentary, you tend to be sitting down more, you tend to be maybe spending more time indoors. And what gets our metabolism high is the level of our muscle mass. So it's our muscle cells that burn a lot of energy. So a lot of the stuff that we eat gets burned by them to just maintain and sustain it. And what's really important is to acknowledge the fact that as our muscles get lower, we also need less energy because they're not burning as much. And that is completely normal, but there is still a fine line between lowered appetite and then losing weight without meaning to. So you shouldn't really, because you're not consuming that much, you shouldn't really be losing it, because your body needs less and therefore you are eating less. But your body doesn't need so much less to be losing weight. And that's what we need to be watching out for. So it's not, if you've been to the GP and or you are conscious about, and you know that maybe you need to lose a few pounds, that's not the unplanned weight loss that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the weight loss where you haven't tried to lose weight, but something has happened. You noticed our weight loss, because that's when we start losing it as muscle mass. That's when we start losing it from very important parts of our body that will then affect our independence, and our quality of life overall.
And also, I think, Carmel, if we start to lose weight and we're not trying to lose weight, then it can be a sign of illness.
Absolutely.
No,
There
it
are.
can be something other than nutrition. And hydration.
It could. We have in our practice, so when we sp speak to older people about nutrition and hydration, we've got what we call red flag questions.
Of
So
course, yeah.
we don't tell the person that they are red flag questions. We just ask the questions, and we know
Yes.
staff and people who are working with them, we know that we need to tell them to go and have that checked out by their GP.
That's good. That's
Yeah,
good.
that is good. Yeah, thank you, Carmel. They're my questions now.
Oh, excellent
Yeah,
question,
that's
Charlene.
brilliant. Thank you so much. And I'll hand you over to Bernie.
Thanks, Bernie.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm going to talk about or ask you about focusing on hydration. It's often overlooked, isn't it?
It
And
is indeed, yes.
why do you think it's especially important for older people to be hydrated?
It's so I touched on this on one of our questions, but just to expand on it, hydration keeps it keeps a lot of things very healthy in our body. It keeps our gut and gastrointestinal tract, all our digestion. It keeps it healthy and moving, which is very important as we get older, especially if we start taking in less fibery foods and we move less, then the movement in the gut is also slowed down, which can, you know, which can cause constipation and things like that. Which can then, you know, turn into other things. It's important because it keeps, it's very, very common in older age, I'm afraid. It's really important for our balance. It's really important, you know, for our, very important for balance. Yeah. So, you know, it's if we don't drink enough, we are more likely to fall. It keeps our, you know, blood system healthier because there's enough liquid going, well, fluids going around, where, you know, if we are under hydrated, you know, our blood isn't going up and down our vessels and veins as well as it should do. You can drop the blood pressure. And it's just overall, it keeps, you know, pretty much everything healthy. And that includes our skin as well. So you're less likely to break your skin if it's well, you know, hydrated. So it is overlooked, but it's very important.
Like elasticated, does it? Sort
elasticated. Of- that was the word I was looking for. Thanks, Bernie. That was the word.
Okay, so do older adults need to drink water or does it not matter what they drink?
It doesn't matter unless
as long as it's not alcohol, Bernie.
Unless it's wine and spirits.
The fun stuff.
Yeah, the fun stuff. Which, unfortunately, this going public, I can't give you I can't endorse any alcoholic.
No.
Let's just say that those drinks don't count. All the drinks are classed as fluids. So, you know, you have water is always best because water has the highest water capacity. So that's basically the way our kind of body works. Yeah. So all fluids, if there's anything else in it, there's other particles that the body has to use up utilize. So not all of what you're drinking is actually fluid, but majority of it is. So for the purpose of this argument and for the purpose of getting people to drink, especially older people, to drink more, let's not have the hang-ups of I don't like water, so I'm not gonna drink anything.
Yes. And also there's the worry about having to keep going for toilet.
Yes, and accessibility to toilets. So if you're planning a day out,
if you're going somewhere, you're just worried. It's a balancing act, isn't it?
It's definitely a balancing act. My advice for that would be drink more in the morning, knowing that maybe you go out a little bit later. Also, what would be good is if you sip the drink, it stays in your system for longer, which means that if you would be sitting here drinking, like I've got a bottle of water here, if I down this bottle of water just because I need just because I need to hydrate myself, there's less point. I mean, I wouldn't say there's no point because I don't want to put anyone off drinking fluids because it's important, but it is much better to sip them throughout the day. If you know you're going out for the whole afternoon and you're worried about not being able to go to the toilet, drink on the first half of the day more, and then later on just sip those fluids. Make sure you go always to the toilet before you leave. Maybe plan your trip or your outing knowing that there's a toilet that you can go to a familiar place where you know.
I know, but we do then you can feel confident that you know where you
exactly go. And I'll tell you now, rather you go to a place where you've already been than have the risk of not drinking and then getting, you know, an infection or having a wobble or falling. Yeah. If that's the price that you have to pay with your outings, then I think that's a good price to pay.
I think as well as you get older, it's like if there's a toilet there, use it, even if you think you don't
need it.
Yeah, and quite often, yeah, it's like telling children, you know, well, I don't need it now. I was like, well, 10 minutes later, they need it. I said, well, surely if you need it now. Always be wise with toilets. There is one, use it.
Is it right, Carmel, that with keeping our bodies hydrated, it's very, very important, because most of us know that the majority is made up of water, but do we also need water to keep the heart, the lungs, the muscles
100%.
Going, you know?
Yeah, and also think about our blood.
Yes.
Our blood is a fluid. What do you think it's made of?
Water.
Yeah, liquid. It's made of water. You don't have
plasma and all the other bits that come along with
it. You can survive for about, I'd say, a good couple of weeks if you're well nourished with no food whatsoever.
Yeah.
2 days, I'd say, if you've had no fluids whatsoever, that is a life-threatening situation.
Yeah, it's so important that we
cannot live without that. And also, it's not just our blood. Think about, you know, all the other things. So our cells that we are effectively made of, majority of the cells is made of water.
So
it's absolutely everywhere. And it is very sadly completely overlooked and put an emphasis on. And people wait until they feel really thirsty to drink. But by the time you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated by at least 10%. So you don't wait for that trigger. And actually, as we get older, that trigger almost disappears in a lot of people. So you will never, even if you go a whole day without drinking, you won't feel thirsty, because the trigger from the brain to, you know, to your mouth isn't there. And it comes from the brain. And if that's working, then you're not going to feel thirsty at all. And somebody who's got Alzheimer's, for example, or have had a stroke, that could be even more pronounced in them, that they just don't have that thirst sensation, and that treatment tells them that they need water. They'll start feeling it in different ways. So they'll start feeling it with a really dry mouth and really dry lips and really dry skin.
That's one of my questions, actually. What are the signs that people may not be drinking enough?
There's lots that of would be signs. There's tiny little signs, and then there's massive signs, but those massive signs can be relating to other things as well. So for example, pressure sores quite often would be relating to, and again, that comes to skin elasticity breakdown. But there's other elements to that as well, which is to do with, you know, protein, with movement, with, you know, other disease conditions. Another sign that is quite easily you can see is and feel is dizziness, headaches, irritability. From loads of other things. If if you're grumpy all day, you must be dehydrated. Irritability, infections, wounds that don't heal. So somebody who's dehydrated is more likely to develop a UTI. Also sepsis, and that's again because the blood is very concentrated then, and it gives more rise to bacteria.
What would you say then is the amount of water? It's just my own question, this, that we would need to keep us hydrated in a day.
Have no fluid restrictions at all, so you don't have issues with your kidneys or anything like that, and the doctor hasn't said to you, well, you can't drink more than this because it puts too much on your kidneys, then you should be aiming for at least 6 to 8 cups or glasses. I'd say that's probably about 200 mils each, so I'd say probably about between 2.5 and 3 liters.
It's a lot.
So this is half a liter. This one small bottle of water is half a liter.
Yeah.
So just to put it into concept. So that's a small water bottle.
Yeah. But the great tip for me there, Camel, is often sips during the course of the day.
Throughout the day. Keep an eye on it.
And then you're not going down to the loo.
Correct. Well, I didn't say that. I just said you can immediately go to the loo. Listen, if it's gone in, it's going to come out.
It's going to
exit the, you know, one way or the other. But you are less likely to need that gushing need to go to the toilet immediately after you drank because you've been sipping it very regularly throughout the day.
Yeah.
You will still, within 2 hours, would probably need, and it also depends on your bladder control. So how well you're controlling. So I really hope you've been doing, ladies, some pelvic floor exercise.
Yes. Oh, yes.
In your younger years.
Used to. Yeah. Okay, that's my questions.
Thank you, Bernie.
Very much. It's been very interesting.
Yes, very. I've just a few questions, Carmel. What role does socialising or routine play in helping older people enjoy food and drink more to make it an enjoyable?
It's actually scientifically proven that older people that eat with each other eat more and eat better. Okay. And actually they eat better because they take a little bit longer to eat. So they're not feeling full so quickly. So it takes about 20 minutes for a signal to go from our stomach to our brain to tell our brain that we are full and we have eaten. And if you finish your meal within 10 minutes, that signal's not even made it halfway down up your food pipe, let alone to your brain. So taking more time to eat, maybe having a starter and a smaller main course, does make you eat better and a more balanced diet. And there's a lot of studies to suggest where they've done these food intake when people were eating on their own versus when people were eating in company. And it's quite well documented that those who eat with others eat better and they are happier. And when you're happier, you eat better.
Because a lot of these, we eat your dinner.
and a lot of the malnutrition cases actually that we see, a lot of it is to do with social isolation. So people are just isolated, they're down in the dump.
They feel
really down, and the last thing on their mind is I'm gonna cook myself a nice meal, where actually that would really, really help their situation. Yeah. So anyone that can get out and can at least once a week to go and eat with others, find a social space. There are loads around the areas that we live in. The most AGUK Salford and Trafford, for example, has the most amazing cafe called Critchley, where, people can socialize while they eat there. There's always someone that can come and chat to them if they're sitting on their own, always. And they make friends there. Even case studies from there to say, how well, people have been welcomed in there when they've been coming on their own. And they can buy a full, meal in there as well, which is home cooked and really, really well balanced. So, it's a win-win situation, really.
Yeah. I mean, I do feel very lucky to live in Salford, and knowing Age UK friendly, there's some great places to go, and there's tea and chat and the check-in tea, anything like that where you can. I mean, I'm lucky having my husband. Now, I've got a friend who lives on her own. She doesn't even bother cooking a meal. Loneliness.
That was one of the things that I really wanted to get out of it, is that you are all doing this and you're all very well connected, but you must know people who aren't, and those are the ones that you need to be looking out for.
You're right.
Yeah. And you know, that if you could spot the signs of somebody's not eating and drinking well, if they always come up with an excuse when you ask them about their eating and drinking, if they don't know what they're having for dinner, the chances are they're not having anything for dinner.
Yeah.
Or they're too embarrassed to tell you that they can't afford it, or they don't know what to do with it. Or, you know, so always check on those who don't have someone else to check up on them.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Goodness.
We're lucky, some of us not so, you know.
Exactly.
Have you seen or any fun or creative initiatives that could possibly help older people eat well?
There was this initiative we did. Well, it's not really fair to say that we did it. We were involved in it. It was like a slow cooker, like a cooking challenge thing that they did in Bolton many years ago. And Age UK Bolton was involved in it, and we became involved in it. Age UK Salford became involved in it because we were running the nutrition program at the time. And that was a really good project where they identified people, you know, older people who were living on their own, who could benefit from having this slow cooker, and they got them as a donation. And we wrote down recipes for, you know, really good nourishing recipes for someone to use with a slow cooker. And that was quite, we got a couple of really good case studies from that. And yeah, so that was a really fun initiative that we were involved with. But, you know, we've done lunch and learns and things like that, where we invited people to come and hear a talk, and we provided lunch for them. And there are, you know, everyone loves food. And it very much is a talking point. The number of times, you know, when I tell people that I'm a nutritionist, and they go like, what do you think about this? And what about this stuff? Can I go on this? And you know, and if I jump on one leg and close my eyes while I'm chewing, while I lose weight, you know, all those people are fascinated by nutrition and about food in general. It gets people together. It gets people talking. And, you know, if you think about all the celebrations that we do, there's always food involved, you know, whether it's a sad occasion or whether it's a happy occasion, food is always there. So, you know, why not make the most out of it?
Yeah. Exactly. Some of these things you have covered on that I'm going to ask you is, how does nutrition and hydration, how does that support our mental health and well-being, and also our cognitive function?
Yeah. So it's all very linked to the physical health that we have, and it really goes hand in hand. So if one is not working, the other one isn't going to work. So if your physical health is really poor, your mental health is likely to be also very poor. And actually, vice versa. It's not as pronounced the other way around, so it's not as obvious, but it definitely can have effects on it. And nutrition has different nutrients in them that can mimic even certain drugs which are used for like mental health. That's not to say that, you know, it can replace them. There's always, you know, you should always be following your medical professional's advice. But there are, you know, things in, for example, in chocolate, there's an ingredient that increases our endorphins, which are our good, you know, feel good hormones that make
chocolate.
this is not me as a nutrition professional telling people to eat chocolate. I'm just saying that
it's moderation.
Do not take this in isolation. Absolutely in moderation. And I don't, you know, and I never talk about bad foods. There's bad habits. There's never bad foods because, you know, food is food. And some people need a very high fat, high calorie, high sugar almost snacks and foods and diets. But some don't, because their body don't use them up in that way because they're not athletes or they're, you know, there's no such thing as a bad food. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a piece of chocolate, or there's nothing wrong with having dessert. And sometimes it actually is beneficial.
Because
if that's the majority of the calories that you'd be getting for your meals, because you can't really think about having anything else, rather you have that than nothing.
If if someone was listening and wants to make one small change to their eating and drinking habits, what would you suggest?
If they're older, I would very much suggest to making sure they're getting the right amount of protein. That is, you know, talking in scientific terms, that's 1 gram per kilogram of body weight. That's the recommended amount. Somebody with a medical condition that affects, you know, their muscles, that might be even higher, but they need to be checking that with their medical professional. So having enough protein, drinking enough water, and making sure that they get enough vitamin D and calcium, because that's the thing that's going to protect their bones. But none of those things go in isolation. So if you don't have enough energy from carbohydrates and fat, none of those other things are going to be working. So your vitamin D is a fat soluble vitamin. So if you don't have any fat in your diet, he ain't going to be using it. So, you know, and the same thing goes with, you know, with calcium and the other. So they all work together. And that's why, you know, I suppose the tip number one is have a balanced diet. Just make sure you include all food groups. You have plenty of fruit and vegetables, because that's where your vitamins and minerals are coming from, which, you know, again, your big nutrients like your carbohydrates, your fats, your proteins, they can't work without the little ones. And the little ones can't work out without the big ones. So you very much the symbiotic relationship where, you know, you need the other to use the other, if that makes sense.
So generally, a healthy,
eat a healthy, balanced diet. I know it's very easy to say, you know, making also small changes. So if you know that you're not getting something, making sure that, you know, for, you know, you start off small, because if you start everything off at once, we're likely to give up on it more easily. So just making those small changes to increase the food group or you know, any other thing that you think that you might be lacking in.
I know when I'm trying to lose a few pounds, if you don't have that little bit of something that you love and enjoy,
you rebel.
It
backfires, doesn't it?
It does big time.
That does happen a lot though with weight loss. I mean, we're diverting slightly on the subject, but you know,
we are trying
to kind of
cut everything.
Just cut everything out, where if your calories are so low and your sugar levels are so low, your body's going to be craving to bring them back up. So that's when you start going for the really quick fixes. Like there's something that you can just grab and something that brings your blood sugar levels straight back up, where those are the things that people kind of fall on afterwards. So if you would have it balanced throughout the day, you are less likely to have those cravings later on where you reach for the really quick fixes.
What do you think everyone's go-to healthy comfort food is? And is there anything that you could suggest as a little bit of a comfort food? If you was feeling low, or your mental health was down, or you was feeling a bit depressed, or...
Yes, I would
say... Are they good comfort foods?
I would say that the biggest comfort food is apple crumble and custard.
Oh!
The best. Yeah, and a little bit of like a little bit of mac and cheese. Nothing's better than that. If you want to make it healthier, you can make mac and cheese with kale. You can add some mushrooms to it. You know, then you add some protein. You can put some breadcrumbs on the top.
Right.
You know, there's loads of different things that you can do with food to just become a little bit more creative with the things.
Because I've done the mac and cheese. That's my comfort is pasta. I've done it, and I've done it with some broccoli and cauliflower.
Yes, that's also really good.
And then I think I'm feeling healthy. Then at least I'm doing a bit of health as well as the comfort.
Can I just ask you, Carmel, is there anything that age friendly? Do they have any information leaflets about nutrition and hydration that we could
So both. So Age UK, Salford and Trafford have got, you know, the Eat, Drink, Live Well. And that's to encourage better eating and drinking in older age. And then age-friendly Salford has got their own version of booklets that we help them with, and we worked on a project with them, which is all around nutrition and hydration conversations. So that would be more, June, like you mentioned about your neighbour, for example. You know, how do you approach the subject? You don't just go, are you eating and drinking well? You know, how do you ask those difficult questions?
Yeah,
to be able to then give that person advice and make them feel reassured. So they've got a booklet, and they've actually got a training session as well that is run in the community. I think that's for Salford residents, but I'm not 100% sure. But there is loads of stuff online as well that you can find at Salford and Trafford. I think it goes under improving your nutrition and hydration.
Brilliant.
Loads of materials and videos.
Fabulous. It's good to know, Carmel, and thank you so much for...
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you. It's been absolutely lovely chatting along with you. Yeah. And our other ladies.
Yeah, and we've learned, you know, we've learned quite a lot.
Yes, we have.
You know. Good. Well, I can come for episode number two.
Thanks, Carmel.
Yeah. Thank you. Lovely to meet you all.
And you too.
Take care.
Bye.
That's it for today's episode of Grubs Up, proving that good food and hydration don't have to be boring, bland, or baffling.
Small changes can make a big difference.
So, until next time, stay well, stay watered, and remember, it's never too late to love what's on your plate. It will taste great. Yoo-hoo!